I want to ask you, my brother, I wish every one of you would be gripped by this, just like a child would spontaneously turn to his dad in a tough situation, that we would turn like that to our Father in heaven and say, Dad, I'm your child, I know you care for me. And for that, you need to understand how much he loves us. You have probably heard me say many times, because I have said it many times, that my favorite verse in the Bible is not John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a great verse, in order to be born again. And I loved it in the early days. But many years later, when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, another verse became more precious to me in the whole Bible. To me, it's the central verse for me in the whole Bible, and that's John 17:23. And if you haven't heard me say that before, you can hear it now. John 17:23 says in the last part, the Lord says, I want the whole world to know. And I apply it to myself. God wants the whole world to know through me. First of all, that God sent his Son. And secondly, that this Father who sent his Son loves me just like he loved his Son Jesus, equal. I'm absolutely convinced. I didn't believe that for 16 years of my Christian life. Or 17 or 18 years, I don't remember. But I remember those 17, 18 years. And of course, I knew God loved me. If someone asked me, do you believe God loves me? Yeah, I've got verses to quote it for it. And there's a lot of difference between quoting a verse. And if you ask a person, does your dad love you? Oh, he brings out his birth certificate and says, the birth certificate says, I belong to this dad of mine. So yeah, I presume he must be loving me. That's how we quote a verse. That's not the way to know God's love. That's not the way a child knows God's love. And if you know it like that, my brother and sister, you're missing something. And in the time of trial, we say, we must remember this verse. There are books, for example, which verse to, if you're needing this problem, look for this verse. For this verse, for this problem, look at this verse. But a little child doesn't go around with a book like that. He's got a dad. He doesn't need any book or verse or anything. He just turns to dad in any situation. And that should be our reaction. And we can have that reaction only if we are absolutely convinced that God loves us as he loved Jesus. But let me qualify that. I don't believe that every person who calls himself a Christian can claim that. In John 17, what does he say? Let's read very carefully, verse 23. I in them, Father, and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity with each other and with me, then the world will know that, Father, you sent me and that you love them as you have loved me. Who is the them? This is referring to one group of people called them, they. I want to know if I'm in that group. I can't just jump in there and say I'm also part of that. No. Let's find out who it is for. You turn earlier in that chapter. This is the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he says here, I am not praying for the world. Verse 9. Here's the them. Who are this them? I ask on their behalf. These 11 people who are sitting with me here at the Last Supper. I do not ask on behalf of the whole world, but those whom you have given me, for they are yours. To them that you have loved them. We are trying to define the word them. The them is those whom the Lord chose to be his. So these are, who are these 11 people sitting there? To whom the Lord says, I want the world to know, you 11 people, that the Father loves you just like he loved me. That's what Jesus is saying. Picture the Last Supper. 11 of them sitting there. And he's telling them, I want the world to know that the Father loves you just like he loved me. Now, my question is, how do I put myself in that leaven? Can I join that group and say that applies to me as well? Yes, if there is a big if. That if the Lord calls you to follow him, you will follow and obey. That means you want to be a disciple. Like, I'm not saying you have to give up your job. Yeah, if you give up your job, the Lord calls you to, but I think the Lord calls 1 in 10,000 believers to give up their jobs. The other 9,999 people must stay in their jobs. So I'm not talking about giving up your profession. I'm talking about obeying when the Lord tells you to do something. That is the thing I notice. When he called them, leave your nets, he left their nets. They left their nets. In the boat, when he told Peter, throw your net on the other side, he threw the net on the other side. And you see that again and again. Whenever he told them to do something, they did it. And that is, even, you know, distributing the food to the 5,000, make them sit down in groups of 50. They went and did that. Now give me that bread. Go and distribute it. Here were people who had submitted to the Lordship and the authority of Jesus. But whenever the Lord told them to do something, they said, that's what I'm going to do. I don't care. No one is going to stop me. Even when Jesus' mother came outside, when they saw this big crowd, this famous preacher, Jesus Christ, somebody came to him and said, hey, your mother is outside. And Jesus turns around. You know that passage. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who hear the word of God and do it. If you belong in that category, I want to say this verse is for you. But not otherwise. God wants it to be true for every one of his children. In other words, if the Lord tells you to give up something, you give it up. I'm talking about some particular sin, some bad habit. If the Lord tells you to do something, you do it. If the Lord tells you to pay your debts, pay it. If the Lord tells you, even if you have to live more simply, pay your debts and live simply. Don't buy that thing. Go and pay your debts first. There are very few Christians who obey all this. I'll tell you that. A lot of Christians take advantage of the fact that God is very merciful and he's good. And if I slip up, he'll forgive me. And those who take that attitude, they are fooling themselves that they can claim John 17:23. That God loves me as he loved Jesus. I want to say he doesn't. There are certain people whom the Father loves exactly like he loved Jesus. But it does not apply to everyone because everyone does not respond. They don't like these disciples did. So we need to understand when the Lord says that the world may know that you love them, John 17:23. Be careful to ask yourself whether you fall into that category of the them. Compare it with verse 9. I'm not asking for these worldly people. I'm asking for these 11 people who are utterly obedient to me. Be in that category, dear brothers, because then there are many promises in Scripture which will be fulfilled for you. Let me show you some of them. Matthew chapter 6. You know, there's a phrase that Jesus often used two words, much more. The new covenant is much more blessed than the old covenant. There are many more blessings in the new covenant than the old covenant, much more. So let me just show you some of them. Matthew 6 and verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and I can add to that, they don't have a bank account. They don't have any earthly resources to fall back on. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You've heard these words many times. And then he says the word much more. Are you not worth much more than them? And the Lord is saying that in the context of verse 25, never be anxious for your food or clothing or earthly needs. We have many earthly needs, and the Lord recognizes with all the insecurities of life, we have earthly needs. everybody has, his children have, and sometimes we can go through tight situations. But you are worth much more than the birds of the air. And then again, he uses that expression in verse 30. What about the grass of the field and the flowers and all that? People just mow the grass and throw it away. You're worried about clothing. Don't you think he'll clothe you much more than he clothes those flowers? Again, much more. Food, clothing, and shelter. Those are the three things man works hard for. And God recognizes our needs. We must remember the Lord's much more. I'll tell you something. It's a wonderful thing to be totally committed to say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. I may slip up and accidentally do it wrongly, but I'm committed to do it. You know, sometimes a person may be willing to be obedient to something you want him to do, but he may not do it perfectly because he doesn't have the skill. So sometimes we don't do things perfectly because we don't have the skill, but that's different from willingness. The Lord's not asking you for skill. For example, if I'm a new person working in a factory and I'm totally willing to be obedient, but I may not know how to operate some of those machines or to program a computer. I'm willing, but I may bungle up and make a few mistakes. It doesn't matter. It's the willingness that the Lord seeks for in our life. Not whether we do something perfectly, but are you willing? And that is the question. And if I'm willing, then I fall into this category of the them whom the Lord will provide for.